We're doing the laws of Lashon Hara. We're up to Klal Zayin, the seventh chapter, page Kuf Mem Gimel, 143. And we're up to the second law in the seventh chapter. Ein shum hetir. There is no permissibility. Le'amin b'Lashon Hara, to believe Lashon Hara, afilu im amsaper siper lav Lashon Hara befanav. Even if the person was so brazen to tell us the Lashon Hara in the presence of the other person. This often happens in families. This often happens in a public setting. Kivan shelo shamanu hoda al ze mipi hanidon. You might say, well, if he was silent, then doesn't that mean he agrees it's true? Well, no, you didn't hear him say it's true. You just saw him being silent. He didn't want to bother arguing. So that does not equal a confession. There was once a Rav that someone put out signs against him, and I asked him why he doesn't defend his name. He said to me, if I put up a sign defending my name, then he'll come back and put up another sign. He said, I won't win, so there's no point. So the fact that someone is silent is not always an indication that they're admitting guilt. Sometimes it's just not worth their trouble to fight the slander. So the idea the Chafetz Chaim is saying now is that if someone says Lashon Hara about someone else, so then you didn't hear the person admit it's true, you're not even allowed to believe that it's true, even though it was said in his presence. And even more so, if right now the person is not saying it in the other person's presence, what he says is, even if he were here, I'd tell you that, because it's true. Nonetheless, we're not allowed to believe him. Mitam ze, just because he says he would say it in his presence. So this sounds far-fetched, but it's not so far-fetched. Let's take an example. You're sitting at a Shabbos table, and your host says, you know, my wife's a good driver, except for when there are traffic poles in the way. See that car out there? So just a year ago, she was making a left turn. She didn't notice the pole. She went on the sidewalk and bam, the door got bashed in. Now you ask yourself, next time she's going to want to borrow our car. Should I lend her our car? The wife is standing there and she doesn't say a word, right? Is it true or isn't it true? So you're assuming it's true because he said it in her presence. And maybe it's not true.
It's a problem he said it,
if it's true or it's not true. But I said people will very often transgress Lashon Hara on their family members. They feel like, oh, we're all one. And so people do this. People will do this about their kids. People feel like if it's my family member, I'm allowed to. And that's not correct. The Torah specifically shows us between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, where even though they were family, Hashem enters the picture and says, you shouldn't talk that way about Moshe. So we sometimes feel like the story is believable because it was said in the presence of the person, and Chafetz Chaim says, that doesn't make it true.
It doesn't make it true, but it's far-fetched only because you gave that example last week where someone has no business, say, mentioning anything about a couple, about their private life. Remember you said last week?
No.
That there was a thing where somebody said something, and he defended it, the kids weren't mamzerim, and he had to say it. And he said, normally I would tell you it's none of your business, whatever. Remember, it was not in this, but it was in the other thing. You mentioned it.
That was in the Ein Yaakov class, yeah.
And silence, on the one hand, it's very high level. Let's sink into the mud. And I respect someone who does it. On the other hand, I have to know that the average person will wonder why you don't defend yourself if you can.
But sometimes there are other causes. Let's say the woman knows if she says something, it'll cause a fight.
Right.
Let's say the woman knows.
Family, in your example, you know, he was way out of line, period, and she may have been, I think, very admirable to not say
anything. I can give you even the scenario of a mother driving a car, her phone's ringing, her SMS is ringing, her child's crying, and another child seems to be climbing out of the seatbelt. And she thinks the third child is opening the car door. So that makes her a bad driver? How many people would be able to handle that scenario as they're making a turn? She's turning, and it seems like the kid's reaching out the door, right?
I hear what you're saying. It's the proper thing is not to give it credence, but hard.
It's hard not to give it credence. I'm just saying that the example.
At that level where you don't say, hey, what's the matter with you? The kids were screaming this and that. It's not that there was a pole in the road. But she was being a high level.
And sometimes it could be a person's boss is present, and they'll lose more by starting the fight. There could be many calculations. Silence is not an admittance of guilt. That's the Chafetz Chaim says, we're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara, even if it's said in the person's presence. And even though the person was silent, ubavonotenu arabim olam nichshalim b'ze meod. He says, unfortunately, among our other areas where we have to fix things, there's also this area where people tend to stumble on this. Even if the person is currently silent as he's being shamed, nonetheless, that should not be considered as any proof to decide that what the person said was true. And even if it's a guy that never takes anything sitting down, whenever you say something about him, if he thinks there's something inaccurate or not true, he will argue. And this time he is silent. Maybe this time he took control of himself. Maybe he just decided, why should I make a fight? Sometimes a person estimates that he won't be believed anyways. If he'll make an issue of it, they won't believe him, and it'll just remain a hot topic for longer. People tend to believe that if you say something in someone's presence, it's true. And even if the guy denies it 1,000 times, and you guys probably have seen this with children, where one child is always happy to tell a shameful story about another one, and the other one will repeatedly say, that's not true, that's not the way it happened, but no one believes him. And that's why a person might sometimes decide, I'm better off not arguing, I'm better off just accepting the shame and not fighting back. And that's why this should not be considered as proof. His silence is not proof that the thing is true. Yes?
If a person would be, think he would be able to defend himself, is it still better for him to stay silent?
Usually a person should defend himself. Sometimes when a person tries to defend himself, the other party will lie, will exaggerate, will argue back, will reiterate, and then the calculation has to be a practical one. Halachically, a person is entitled to defend themselves. We discussed it yesterday in the Shidduch class, that if someone says badly about you to a Shadchan, if a girl you dated goes back to a Shadchan and says not nice things about you, you're allowed to defend yourself. The person doesn't have to let their reputation be tarnished. Then you run into the practical question. Will you gain more by arguing or by being silent? You know, in the United States, there was a president named Ronald Reagan. And when he would debate, and the other party would say something that he didn't agree with, so he was an actor, and very often he would not argue. All he would do is look down and shake his head in a way that seemed to say, that's just not right. And without saying a word, the cameras would all focus on Ronald Reagan shaking his head. And the commentary would say, the president is shaking his head in obvious disapproval of what's being said. Now, he didn't have to say a word. He just made the face, and he already won the argument. Sometimes the unspoken word is more powerful than the spoken word. That's again, that's a practical question every person has to gauge. But a person is entitled, and sometimes it's his responsibility, to defend himself. There's no reason to take it sitting down. Just as the halacha says, if someone's coming to kill you, kill him first. It's also, if someone's going to come and hit you, and he's not going to kill you, he's going to afflict you, he's going to hurt you, you have a right to hit him first. You know, he's coming and he's ready to punch you, punch him first. You don't have to wait to be hit. You might hurt him, right, but he was about to hurt you. So if a person said something negative about you and you could defend yourself, of course you should. That's your call, whether you're going to win, whether it's worth anything. to your call.